Father, at this time I ask that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, we'll be continuing today in the Lenten series that I'm bringing you and spending some time talking about the communion that we take. Last week we talked about the fruit of the vine, or which represents the blood of Christ. And today we'll be talking about the bread, which is the other element of communion. Jesus had referred to himself in our first scripture passage as the bread of life. This coming from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 28 through 40. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give, that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." This is God's word for God's people. So Jesus said that he was the bread of life, and I just want to make it clear for everybody that when he refers to himself as the bread of life, he's not saying that he's made of flour and water and baked in the oven at 350 degrees. It's a metaphor. He's talking about, he's comparing himself to the manna from the book of Exodus. When we were talking last week about the Exodus, and in chapter 16 of Exodus, verses 13 through 15, "That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared in the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat.'" You see, they had left Egypt. The nation of Israel had left Egypt, and they're wandering in the desert, and they didn't have anything to eat. So God provided for them every day quail and this bread. When they said, "What is it?" that's why they started calling it manna. I mean, you've heard the term manna, and that's what manna actually means. What's that? Imagine eating something called, "What's that?" I'm very fortunate that my wife is a really good cook, and I never have to ask that question, because I can usually tell what we're having by the smell or by looking at it. I don't have to sit down at the dinner table and say, "What's that?" Although sometimes we do have some things that are very unusual. Sometimes, "What's that?" "It looks like squid." And it is. But imagine having this food that you're just picking up off the ground. What's that? It's the bread from heaven. It's God's provision. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to give us our daily bread. This is what he's talking about. This is what they're talking about. This is the original daily bread, is this manna. What's that? And don't we ask that question a lot? Sometimes we receive these blessings in our lives and we don't know what they are. Sometimes we receive these blessings in our lives and maybe we don't see them as blessings at first. And I think oftentimes we receive blessings that we never even know we got. I have gotten in the habit of not allowing myself to get out of bed until I can thank God for the new day. And I will admit that sometimes I have to hit the snooze bar a couple of times before I'm ready to thank God for the new day, because I'm not ready for the new day to start. And quite honestly, this was one of those mornings. Although I was very thankful for how comfortable my bed was. And I was lying in bed, just snuggled up in my pillow, thinking, thank you, God, for bed being so comfortable. And then I thought, you know, I still need to make the bulletin this morning. And I was thankful for that as well. Thankful that I could do that. We receive these blessings. And one of these blessings that we have in our lives that we can never forget is Jesus Christ, as he called himself the bread of heaven. And in times in our lives when we're talking about Jesus to people, don't we hear people ask the question, what's that? What's that? He provides for us in ways that we don't always understand. God provides for us. And Jesus is part of that provision, part of what sets us free from sin. You know, as we take our communion, it's a reminder of our freedom from the bondage of sin. You know, we didn't have to run away from Egypt. Our ancestors, well, most of our ancestors didn't have to escape Egypt. And we have that time in our life where we were certainly asking the question about God. What is it? I know when I was a kid, I had so many questions. I drove you guys nuts. I drove the youth director at our church nuts because I had questions that he couldn't answer. I was constantly asking, what is it? What does this mean? And finally, I started getting answers and it made sense. The bread from heaven. Even Jesus' disciples didn't quite understand. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Again, a metaphor, and Jesus had to explain to them that it wasn't actual, you know, bread that you got from the oven. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. And he told them that he was the bread, that we should never go hungry and we should never be thirsty. And you can explain these things to people and they still don't believe and they still don't want to accept it. I was speaking with a young woman not too long ago who was expressing to me how complicated and how difficult so many things in her life were. And I shared with her the love of Christ. Now, I've had several people that I've talked with about this and expressing this love. The fact that God loves us so much, he sent his son to us so that we could have forgiveness, so that we could have this peace. And she said, you know, I'd really like to be able to experience that peace. So I explained to her, accept Christ into your life and you can experience this peace. Oh, I don't want to do that because I'd have to give something up, maybe. Well, isn't it worth it to have the peace? Yeah, probably. Well, let's do it now. It's amazing how people are willing to starve when what they're looking for is right in front of them. I spoke to a young man once who was absolutely convinced that God exists. He knew in his heart that God's there. And he knew in his heart that God loves him. And he knew in his heart that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of all sins in the world. And he knew in his heart that if he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he would be saved and he would have the opportunity to one day go to heaven. But he wouldn't do it. And I don't understand. We stand before a buffet. We stand before a table covered with everything we could want, and all we do is look at it? I don't understand. So many people are confused and lost and asking the question, what's that? And we can tell them. You know, I have to ask the question. When Israel was walking around the desert and the first time the manna appeared and they're saying, well, what's that? And Moses says, that's the bread from heaven. How many of them stood there and looked at it and said, I ain't eating that. Do you think anybody was doing that? Do you think anybody was just looking at it and saying, no, not eating that. It's been on the ground. I'm not eating it. Scripture doesn't tell us that that happened, but I can't help but think there was at least somebody who was looking at it and saying, I'm not eating that. We face the same thing in our lives. We see people who face the same thing in their lives. You know, hopefully we've all had an opportunity to speak to someone about God and about Christ, but maybe they don't listen. Maybe they don't hear. Maybe they don't understand. God's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and he will raise them up on the last day. I remember a young man I was talking to in the prison once. He was saying that he believes in this. He believes in Scripture. He believes in God, but he's not sure. He wasn't sure if he should accept Christ as his Lord and Savior. He said, do I really need to do it today? Can I wait and do it sometime down the road? I told him, yeah, you have that opportunity. You can do it anytime you want. He's always there for you. And I said, but ask yourself this question. If you want to do it, if you want to wait till tomorrow, can you guarantee you'll get up tomorrow? Can you guarantee tomorrow's going to happen? Well, tomorrow did happen for him, fortunately. I saw him first thing the next morning, and he said to me, you know what? When I woke up this morning, the first thing I did was thank God for giving me a new day, for giving me one more chance. And then we prayed the sinner's prayer. He was thankful for that new day, but you know what? He realized he wasn't guaranteed another. None of us are promised this day. None of us are promised another. But as long as we have it, we make the most of it. We are offered the bread of life so that we would never go hungry and we would never be thirsty. As we take our communion today, I want us to remember that. As we have our communion time together, excuse me, consider this bread. When Jesus broke the bread and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you," consider him as the bread of life. Consider this symbol that he has given this to us so that we could continue to live, just as the Israelites in the desert were given the bread from heaven, so that they could continue through that day and make it to the next, if the next day happened. We can say thank you. Hopefully we're to the point in our lives where as we experience this, we can say thank you. We no longer have to ask the question, what's that? Hopefully we understand. And hopefully we have an answer to that question when someone asks us. You see, hopefully they can see the joy in your life. Hopefully they can see how different we are as Christians than the other people who aren't. And when they ask the question to us, what's that? What is it that makes you different? What is it that makes you joyful in these bad times? What is it that gives you peace in these times when you should be troubled? What's that? Can we answer them? That's the bread of life. That is what we eat so that we would never be hungry. That is what we drink so that we would never be thirsty. Given to us from God, come to us from heaven, so that we will one day rise up and be with him forever. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share-Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
The benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word, I think, today is life. We have this bread of life for us so that we may never be hungry, and yet sometimes we still do feel hungry, don't we? Sometimes we still do feel that spiritual hunger, that loneliness. It's because we're not taking the bread of life. It's offered to us, as it's offered to all. You have an opportunity in your life, anytime you feel that loneliness, anytime you feel that spiritual hunger, to turn to God and ask, and he'll give it to you. And likewise, you have the opportunity and the responsibility to offer it to others who need it as well. And I think we all know somebody who could use some spiritual food and some spiritual drink. You can't force it on them. We all know that as well. But we can offer it to them. Let us not forget that. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.